Holy Spirit, now and ever, unto ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Wisdom, let us attend. Let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to thy spirit.
Our reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King of Glory will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
All of you on this 40th Sunday after Pentecost. the church celebrates the martyrs, the martyr Quadratus, and those with him. Many more, by the way, than what we read last night. Many more were with him in Corinth and martyred for the Christian faith. It is also meet fair that with all of your strength, with all of your might, that this will be the last day that we partake of anything, well, I should say just meat, because we still have dairy. I said anything from the animal, but that's not true. Meat. Until Pascha. I'm just supposing, I don't have actual data, but I'm just supposing that if not most, many of us probably live our life without ever a thought to the last judgment. We might have an intellectual assent. Oh yeah, God's going to judge the world. He's going to judge mankind. And he's going to judge me in particular. Some people say that it's no fair. I didn't want to be created. And now, why do I risk going to hell? Why do I risk being put into a very scary place? And on the icon there, we see a number of people who are in hell. We can't speculate, but we know Scripture points to a couple. The rich man and Lazarus, we read that one. The evil tyrants that have existed and exist today, they're on the icon as being in hell. The heretics, those who knowingly spread falsehood about the Christian faith, those are all in the icon, but on the other hand, maybe with the possible exception of those in Scripture, we don't know. We don't know who's in hell. Why is there even a judgment day, we might ask? Why does there have to be judgment? And I think the church's response to that would be because not everybody wants to be in heaven. Wow. Not everybody wants to be in paradise. And then the church would firmly support that. Notice in the gospel reading, because I'm thinking of our studies of C.S. Lewis, and you know, C.S. Lewis is not scripture, of course, but I imagine he may have taken this idea from this particular scripture. What did Christ say hell was created for? The devil and his angels. Hell wasn't created for us. That's what C.S. Lewis would say. Hell was not created for mankind. And he goes further to say, hell is locked on the inside. Meaning that you really, really want to be there. And then God would grant you your free will. But that just seems like a no-brainer. Well, of course I would want to be in paradise. Why would I choose otherwise? And that's because the answer to the question is not what you and I might knee-jerkingly think. That, of course, I don't want to be in the torment of fire like it is in the icon. That's a beautiful icon, by the way. I'd like to put that on the back wall someday. That we hear the gospel, and then when we leave the church, we see on the back wall the last judgment, as if to say, put this into action, because we're all going to stand at the last judgment seat. So we wonder if it's fair to be that I was even created, that I risk being in torment. And we also affirm that not everybody wants to be in paradise. And we see a lot of literature, again, C.S. Lewis is in particular famous for that, even like in the Chronicles of Narnia. He brings up that question over and over again. the idea that not everybody wants to be in paradise. So what does that mean? That may mean, so I believe this is what the church would teach, it may mean that in our life we can grow indifferent to Christ. We can grow indifferent to fellow man. In the gospel reading, it gave us certain things like visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger. Those are all very good things, and many of our saints specialized in one of those. Or maybe some of you specialize in one of those. I was downtown on Friday with my son, and I've never seen this in Merced, but of course the phenomenon is all over the country, and we can argue about whether it's purposeful or whether it's accidental. That is a legitimate argument as to what's going on. But the homeless and the trash, and if I had my wife downtown or my girlfriend or a small child or even an elderly person with me, I might be a little afraid to walk where the homeless people are because of just what it looks like. And sadly, what I saw were elderly people out there in the streets. Not like young punks, but elderly people. And I looked at them carefully. They were all on drugs. They're all out of their minds. But why are they out there in the street? Well, we can have a wonderful debate about that also, as to what's going on in our country with our elderly and removing them from homes and putting them on the streets. That's real, folks. That's real. That's going on. But maybe you're not called to deal with people like that, because it could be dangerous. It could be scary. There's other ways we can help the homeless, the poor. We can sponsor a bed at the rescue mission. We can give money so they can be fed. There's many, many options. But in either case, what do all those things look like? Feeding the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting those in prison, welcoming the stranger. Like all these different categories that we might be tempted to think this is a checklist. Oh, if I can do this, do this, do this, do this, I'm in paradise. No. Because all of these things all reflect Jesus Christ. They all reflect Christ. We hear in Scripture, Christ will ask, when I come back, will there be anyone faithful on the earth? Whoa, what a question. Will there be anyone faithful? And then, of course, we have this story of the sheep and the goats. And I wrote a little bit about the sheep and the goats in the bulletin, sort of the symbolism between the two of them. But in either case, no one is compelled to go to hell. It's something that we desire in this lifetime, as odd as that may sound. But we can grow indifferent towards Christ. We can grow indifferent towards our fellow man. We can grow indifferent to even our own soul, which is maybe the reason Christ asks that question, when I return, will I find anyone faithful on the earth? When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, what are we going to see? If you look at Western Christianity and other religions like Islam, you're going to find a near tyrannical, harsh ruler who's going to grab you by your hair. Maybe I luck out, but he'll find a way. Grab you by your hair and cast you into the fire. That sounds like a vindictive, tyrannical ruler. That sounds like something that would happen today. That if we don't like what you have to say, we're going to put you in jail. We're going to put you in the fire. Whatever goes on. But that's not God's glory. Because God sits on his throne in glory, brothers and sisters. And there's two main characteristics of Jesus Christ in his glory. And you've heard me say this before. You know what I'm going to say. It's his love and his mercy. That's what's at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, in his glory. And all the nations will be gathered. And it doesn't matter what religion you were or non-religion, you will all know who this is. I remember when I was in seminary, Father Nadine Tarazi, wonderful, wonderful man. Very, very hard teacher. Wonderful man. I loved him. Because he always told things the way that he's not from North America. So he could always tell us North Americans like how it really is and who we really are. I love that about him. Anyway, the ecumenical patriarch was coming to the seminary, Bartholomew, who's still the ecumenical patriarch. He was going to come to the seminary. And one of the students asked, well, how are we going to know who's who? And he just kind of laughed and said, you will know. You will know who the ecumenical patriarch is when he arrives. There'll be no mistake. You don't have to know anything about the Orthodox Church or about these guys wearing these weird hats and robes. A stranger could sit there and say, that man is the most important man here. He looks like everybody else, but we can tell. So every country, every nation, every person will see in his glory, see Christ, and they'll know exactly who that is. There'll be no mistaking. The difficult issue for us is that we spend a lot of our time deceiving ourselves. We say to ourselves that we're not really that bad, or we don't really sin, or I've told you the story before of people, they come to confession, they have no idea what to confess. All I can do is pray for those people. You have no idea what to confess? But the Lord of mercy and his glory wants all of us to be with him. But judgment day is for those who do not want to be with him. It doesn't mean he's going to cast you into fire, because that's not who God is. It means that we're going to be pounding really hard at the doors of hell till, please let me in. So there are people in this world that do not want to be in paradise. They want to be tyrannical. They want to be like the rich man in the icon. They want to fornicate. There's other things on there I didn't see heretics, whatever. Again, I'm not here to judge, because I don't know who's going to be in heaven or hell. I'm just going by what the icon gives us the image of. People who desire not to be a part of God's love and mercy, they would rather sort of be on their own and sort of define things on their own. And I would say they already live in a state of hell. They don't need to be thrown into a fire. They already live in hell. And what God wants, and this is the unfair question, it's not fair that I was made because then I might go to hell. God made all of us to be with him in sheer bliss, in life eternal, in paradise. Nobody would argue with that. This is not fair. I'm having a great time. I'm living in God's presence, and I am in total ecstasy the entire time in his presence, in his love, in his mercy. No one's going to argue, that's not fair. They only argue it's not fair, and they don't want that. As weird as that sounds to us. Because maybe all of us in this room are trying our very best to repent, to be good, to live the life of the church in a way that you're able to. Some people can live the life of the church magnificently. We typically call them saints. Others of us can't really do a couple basic things. And I just call those people fellow travelers to paradise. Fellow travelers to the grave. Fellow travelers to the last judgment. And that along the way, hopefully, we get better and better at it. That's why the church, in her beautiful wisdom, gives us this liturgical cycle every year. Lent comes around. It's familiar. Some of you have done this for 80 years. Some of you have just done it, or you haven't done it at all. And so, it's like the seasons, right? They come and go. We can predict them. Or like daylight savings. We can predict it. We're all tired. And so Lent comes around every year. And it's like, oh man, you know, the fasting, the church services, the long, boring services. I just can't wait to get out of it and go to Pascha. In fact, we don't even need Lent, I don't think. But Lent is this familiar event that yet should be new every year. Because hopefully we're getting better and better and better at living the life of the church. And the liturgical cycle gives us that grace and that power and that strength to live a better life. To live a life in Christ. To live a life that's more in line with what God created us to experience in the beginning. So brothers and sisters, the last judgment, according to Scripture, according to the church fathers, according to the canons, according to the iconography, according to the beautiful music that you're hearing today, is a reality. And God loves us so much that He says, you choose. You choose. Do you want my love and mercy? But if your whole life is spent in another way, then maybe my love and mercy is something you don't want. And I accept that. But I'm not going to cast you into some fire. Some people will be very comfortable in hell. I don't know. But I think what I would not be comfortable with is the idea of seeing God's love and mercy and then saying to myself, I don't want it. All of you have raised children. Well, relatively speaking, we've all raised kids. And we all know when the kid is like yelling and screaming and stomping his feet and you finally give in. And what does the child say? No, I don't want it anyway. No, really, you can have the ding-dong. No, I don't want it. Yes, take the ding-dong. No, I don't want it. You see, you're being loving and merciful with a little initial fighting, but then you offer the love and the mercy to the child, and the child runs off, I don't want it. I'm not saying little kids are in trouble. It's an analogy that we stand before God's mercy and love, and then we say we don't want it. And that, as my old master would say, is what hell is. It's the rejection of God's love. It's God's love chasing us in our rejection of Him. That's hell. It's not what the Protestants preach. It's not what the Muslims preach. It's none of that. It's God's offering love and mercy and we say we reject it, that's hell. And whatever that person experiences, I don't know. But brothers and sisters, what we want to do is pack our good bag. Remember, you thought I was going to forget about the bag. I did not. And I'll even put the little incidentals back in the bulletin in case you didn't see that. But for sure in the bag, remember our desire to see Christ, no matter what, even if it means climbing a tree. Humility goes into our bag, and humility is the firm knowledge of exactly who we are. There's no point in deceiving yourself because you won't deceive God. We hear that in the epistle, he opens the book and all will be revealed. Nothing is hid. Our sins and our repentance, nothing is hid. So don't forget to pack humility. Don't forget to pack the ring, the robe, and the sandals, because that's how God gives back our dignity as human beings. He wants all of us to remember our high calling as human beings, as made in His image and likeness, designed to be in paradise. And now put into your bag maybe a little icon of Christ and a mirror, so that we can hold the mirror in front of our face and then compare it to the face that's on the icon. Because we're called to be nothing less than Christ-like. Not in nature, of course, but by grace. And that's all those little things in the gospel reading today. That sums up how Christ behaves. So put the icon and put the mirror in your bag for the Lenten journey. And hopefully over time, as we look into that mirror, we're not like narcissists. We're not like gazing upon our beauty. But rather, am I being transformed to look more and more like what's on the icon? That's what we're after. Whether I look pretty or not is irrelevant. However I think of myself is irrelevant. However self-righteousness I have is irrelevant. Whatever people say about me is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is what's in that mirror. Because when Christ offers us His love and mercy, I'm going to suspect He wants also to see Himself reflected in us. So if we refuse to take care of our fellow man, and we're just so indifferent to the tragedy that's in American society right now, or indifferent to the tragedy of someone who has nothing to wear or something to drink, or the tragedy of our federal prison system, that these prisoners are just throwaways. Whatever that tragedy that we have to deal with in our society, if we become so desensitized and indifferent, you see, that's where maybe Christ, I wish I could see more of me in you. That's what He might say to us. So brothers and sisters, live the life of the church, as difficult as it is. Live the life of trying to engage humanity in a loving scale. Not like our government, but in a real loving scale. Not something that uses people, but something that cherishes people, loves people. And make sure that the mirror continually reflects Christ. And don't forget about His love and His mercy, because that's fundamentally who Jesus Christ is. Ignore all the scary things, because that's not true. The icon looks scary, for sure. But those people on the icon chose to be there. They're not compelled. That's what they desire. And our desire is to be in paradise. But then our life has to more and more reflect that, so that we actually don't grow into a disposition of indifference or rejection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Strength and grace to all of you.